Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Let's open the Word of God, if you will, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, and if you'll open it tonight to chapter 13, please. And let's talk about some prayer. Thomas got a really good report from the doctor Monday after his checkup. And let's see, I think the other one is tomorrow, or was it today?
Thursday,
that's what I thought. Okay, so we'll pray for tomorrow's checkup, that he'll be okay, and just continue to be in prayer. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing happening in his young life. And I know it. It's just a miracle. It's a miracle. God has touched him. I mean that. And so that's really wonderful. And so continue to be in prayer for Thomas. Please continue to be in prayer for Romeo and Lily, that things will work out in their life. Let's see, John Haig and John Hintz's church in Tucson is doing okay, not exceptionally well, but okay. He's responding to the chemo again. He's had it for many years. He'll go in and he'll respond to it for a while. And so just continue to be in prayer for John Haig. Let's see. Next Tuesday, Judith's son, Kelly, will be in for surgery. So please be in prayer for Kelly's his surgery Tuesday. Let's see. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Okay. All right. Y'all come up and sit at the table. Come on up, sit at the table. My goodness. Yeah. Thank you. Good. All right. There you go. Yeah. He's not here, so. All right. All right. Okay. Let's go into prayer and get ready for our study tonight. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this book, a remarkable book. I smile, Heavenly Father, when men attack it. It just shows unbelievable ignorance. So, Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see as we go through some things, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. When the Jews meet for various special events, they will take a manuscript and read it. Sometimes it's a book of Esther, and other times it's different things that they will read. When we finish the book of Galatians, we spend a wonderful night just reading the book, seeing how it flowed. And we have just finished chapters 13 through 16. And this is all the upper room and after it. And I want us to worship tonight in the Word of God. Let's read through the Scriptures. Now, here's what I'd like you to do. And I know you don't want to, but we're reading through and something doesn't click. I don't remember it, or I don't understand it. Please raise your hand or say explain or something. Please don't be embarrassed. This is what we're here for. And I just want you to gather the things that we spent. I don't want to know how many years. I do not want to know how many months on this section of Scripture. Don't want to know. I just know it's been a while. It took us longer to study it than it did for them to live it. I know that, but so let's just read through, starting in chapter 13, verse 1. Getting ready for the last Passover. Now, before the feast of the Passover, and this is very important, you recall, for there were two Passovers that week, and Tuesday night and Friday night, and all the Sadducees, Pharisees, and all of this has worked out in this respect. Jesus, knowing that his hour had come that he should depart out of this world to the Father, so we're hours before the crucifixion, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, the Passover, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, rose from the supper, sitting around for the Passover, laid aside his garments, that's the setting aside of his deity, and taking a towel, he girded about himself. That is his humanity, picture of his humanity. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, picture of the Holy Spirit, who is pictured as water, and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And so he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, that is, Peter said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I do, you do not realize now, but you shall understand hereafter. Peter said to him, never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me. Now remember, the washing of the feet is a picture of grace recovery from sin. It's not salvation. This is a very profound statement, that if we are not in the Spirit, we have no part of him, no matter what we do for him. A preacher can study and teach. If he's not in the Spirit, no part with him. You can witness, you can give, you can sing, you can pray, you can just do all these wonderful things. But if you're not in the power of the Spirit, it's of no value. So if I do not wash you, this is our cleansing of sin in our lives, you have no part with me. Simon said to him, Lord, not my feet only then, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who has bathed, that's salvation one, eternal life salvation, needs only to wash his feet, spiritual recovery, by faith, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all. In other words, there's somebody in here that has not received Jesus Christ as Savior. They have not been bathed. So you have bathing, picture of salvation one, faith in Jesus Christ, cleansing from sin, that's by faith in the Holy Spirit. Okay, spirituality. Verse 11. For he knew the one who was betraying him, Judas. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. And so when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and reclined at the table again, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord. And you are right, for I am teacher and Lord. If I, then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. This goes back to Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, helping another believer restore from sin. This is what we're to do. Not judge them, malign them, criticize them, talk about them, attack them. Help them restore. Verse 15, I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Now, I'm sure you know there are groups of people that are into foot washing. They think that's what this is all about. And they physically wash each other's feet at their church service. And so it got into legalism. People, it's amazing how they take these things and don't realize what he's really talking about. Like in our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to be looking at water baptism. We're going to look at the Great Commission. We're going to look at a lot of different things in that respect and see how all of this fits in. But it's amazing how people take something like this. Oh, well, foot washing, that's what we have to do. Verse 16, truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master. Neither is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. He, Jesus Christ, is not greater than the Father. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. If you help another believer be restored to fellowship. I do not speak of all of you. I know the ones I have chosen. But it is that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. For from now on, I am telling you, before it comes to pass, these things come to pass. You'll note it is in italics. Before it comes to pass, these things develop. So that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Now, they already believe he's the Son of God, the Savior, the Christos, the Messiah, the Christ. This is to believe him in their life. Believe him in things that he says about the future. Believe in things. Like, for an example, well, I believe Jesus Christ when he said, you will have tribulation. Yep, he's right. I believe that. Boy, he was right on there. See, that type of thing. Okay? Verse 22. Truly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send, that's the Holy Spirit, receives me. He who receives me receives him who sent me. So we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in verse 20, which we spend time on. And again, if you have any questions, please raise your hand. Okay, verse 21. When Jesus had said this, he became troubled in spirit and testified and said, truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me. So the humanity of Jesus Christ realizes the crucifixion's close. All these things have to come into place. The disciples began looking at one another at a loss to know which one he was speaking. There was reclining on Jesus' breast, because they didn't sit like we do. They laid to eat. I'm glad we don't do that. Some of us fall asleep while we're eating. So there was one, verse 23, there was reclining on Jesus' breast one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. That's the Apostle John. Simon Peter, therefore, gestured to him, sitting where he could look right at him, said to him, tell us who it is of whom he is speaking. He, John, leaning back, thus on Jesus' breast, kind of like this, right, said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus therefore answered, this is the one for whom I shall dip the morsel and give it to him. So when he had dipped the morsel, he took and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Now here's a good place to show you how little they listened to Jesus Christ. I mean, he's told them. And then he immediately does this. And they still, when Judas walks out, they think he's going to go give some money to the poor or something. It's just amazing. I'm amazed sometimes when somebody will say something or ask somebody about what I thought. I didn't say that. This is what I said. But I don't feel too bad, because Jesus Christ had the same problem, and every speaker does. Every husband does. Every wife does. Every parent does. So it's just one of those things we have to deal with. Okay. Verse 27. And after the morsel, Satan then entered into him. Satan can possess unbelievers, cannot demon possess a believer. Jesus therefore said to him, what you do, do quickly. Looked right at Judas and said that. Now, no one of those reclining at the table knew for what purpose he had said this to him. For some were supposing, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus was saying to him, buy the things we need for the feast, or else that he should give something to the poor. And so after receiving the morsel, he, Judas, went out immediately. It was night. Now, what does that tell us? Remember, all the way through from the Genesis on, darkness is a time of Satan, light is a time of the Lord, time of God. So this is night. This is a time of Satan to make his move. When therefore he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. That word now means it's now in order. It's now the movement has started. Everything is in place now. Judas is going to go betray. They're going to come and arrest and the trials and the crucifixion. Verse 32, if God is glorified, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him immediately. Little children, loved ones, I am with you a little while longer. You shall seek me, as I said to the Jews, I now say to you also, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment, this is at the table now, I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all, the word man is not there, it's angel and man and yourself. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me later. And he didn't even listen to that. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus said, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a cock shall crow until you deny me three times. A little warning for Peter and for all of us. Let not your heart be troubled. Forget the chapter break. He sees there's just trouble now. I'm going to leave. Somebody's going to betray me. I'm going to leave. You can't follow me. Now, what does spiritual love do? It observes. That's the first thing you always want to know about spiritual love. Spiritual love sees the need. It observes others. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, now ask him to calm their souls now. Tell him where he's going. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. He's preparing a place for us right now. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, that's where he's going, to the Father. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. See, Jesus Christ came to reveal the Father. You would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip this time said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Now, showing, Gentiles need to see. See, they don't look for signs. Gentiles want to see. Philip says, so he says, show us. Verse 9. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Now here we have speaking and works, and we spend time. Now, teaching of the Word of God deals with the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Now, this is advanced teaching. They believe that he's the Christ, the Son of God, and they believe, they say, so they're just, we, all of our lives we continue growing in what we believe. So he says, believe me, verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves, all the miracles, teachings that he's done. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes me, in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Now, what are the greater works? Jesus Christ came for the Jews. When he leaves, it will be opened up to all the Gentiles, the church. And the greater isn't greater in number. It's a greater that it's going to open up to everyone, see? It's going to be, now you're going to go to the Gentiles. Okay, verse 13. And whatever you ask, so there's your task. You're going to do greater than he did, opening it up. And whatever you ask, because you're going to need help, in my name, that will I do. Now this is new, revolutionary. This has never been before in prayer. Asking in Jesus' name. Ask in my name. That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now what he's really asking them to do is ask for the Holy Spirit. But they didn't do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And this is a great issue. What are the commandments here? In context, faith and love. Those are the commandments. Plural, singular. Verse 16. And I will ask the Father. Okay, this is when he goes now. He's already told him he's going to go. He's going to go to the Father. When I'm with the Father, sits down, and he's not going to go into discussion. Father, you won't believe those people down there. Those mortals are pitiful. They are stupid. They're arrogant. They're this. They're that. Oh, no. What does he do? And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Parakletos. Another just like me, deity. That he may be with you forever. I'm leaving. But when this one comes, he will not leave you. He'll be with you forever. And that is spirit. Don't look for the flesh like me. This one that's coming isn't going to be flesh like me. He's going to be spirit. That is the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because they do not believe in Christ, because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will behold me no more. So that's still on his mind. But you will behold me, because I live, you shall live also. It's a beautiful, powerful phrase. In that day, you shall know that I am, that day when the Holy Spirit comes. In that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Spiritual mystery. Verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. With what's a commandment? Faith and love. He who has my commandments loves me. He who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and will disclose myself to him. People, we spend some time here. It's a beautiful, beautiful concept. Beautiful concept. It's very difficult for people to disclose themselves to each other. Well, I know a lot of husbands and wives that do not disclose themselves, because if this person knew this about me, they wouldn't love me. I got this wall around me. Nobody's going to know me, boy. This type of thing. A prostitute will give you her body, but she will not disclose herself to you, doesn't even want to kiss you. I understand most prostitutes don't even kiss. They're not going to do it. They'll give you their body, have it. Give me my money, have it. I'm going to disclose. So disclose is something powerful. To think Jesus Christ will disclose himself to certain believers. Okay? Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, there's the issue of spiritual love. He will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. People, that's powerful. That Jesus Christ will come and abode inside of us by the presence of the Holy Spirit, disclose himself as we live and learn and learn and walk. Verse 24. He who does not love me does not keep my words, faith and love. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So you're just always aware the Father sent me. I'm going to go back to the Father. The Holy Spirit's coming. So much is going on in Christ's thinking and teaching here. Verse 25, but these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Parakletos, I refuse to say helper anymore. Helper is just to me a wrong, weak translation. Gives the idea we do our part. No, Parakletos does it all. But the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Okay, what do we learn? He's going to be with you forever. Going to be with you forever. Verse 16. Verse 26. He will teach you all things. He'll cause you to remember things that I said to you, things you learned. Verse 27, in context of the Holy Spirit, peace I leave with you. What is the peace? The Holy Spirit. Peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. You heard that I said to you, I go away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced. Because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. It's a hard concept to teach. We just had a great trial in America. A mother, supposedly, murdered her little child in a pool and then hid the body for a couple of months. All this type of thing going on. People make all of this horrible, and it is horrible in that sense. But that little baby's home with the Lord, people. I'm sorry. That baby is home with the Lord. And I rejoice over that. And I'm sorry all of the circumstances and these things, but child's home with the Lord. And it's kind of a hard thing to do when people are mourning the death of someone to just say, if you loved them, you'd rejoice. But this is, to me, a very powerful passage of Scripture. So, verse 28, you heard that I said to you, I go away. And I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced. Because I go to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it comes to pass, you may believe. See, there's that believing again. It's a great issue. This continual, all of our life we learn and believe more and more. Verse 30, I will not speak much more with you. For the ruler of this world, Satan, is coming. Judas has already been in the well, out trading with the religious crowd. They're going to bring in the paramilitary. So the world is coming. And he has nothing in me. There's no problem with me. But that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise and let us go from here. So they're leaving the upper room now. They're leaving the Passover's over, teaching's over, and they're leaving. Now verse 15, or chapter 15. I guess we could have a nice chapter break here because we're in a different momentum. We don't know where this happened. On the streets of Jerusalem, maybe a light, a fire light or something, over in the Mount of Olives. I don't know. We don't know where this happened. But he stopped and did some teaching. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. That's the gospel. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, what is that? Faith in Jesus Christ. He is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into fire. They're burned. If you abide in me, faith in Jesus Christ, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified. You want to glorify the Father? Here's how. That you bear much fruit, and go prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide now in my love. You abide in me, faith in Jesus Christ, abide in my love. That's in the Spirit, the Parakletos. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, because his commandments are faith and love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Do you learn some things about Christ? He's worried about them having a trouble, concerned about them having a troubled heart. Let not your heart be troubled. Peace I leave with you. Joy I leave with you. He cares. They care. The Godhead cares about us having joy and peace. And you add to that the tribulations, and it becomes unbelievably profound. Okay, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Now he's going to go into the hatred of the world. That you love one another as I have loved you. Why does he bring it up right now? Because of the hatred of the world. Greater love hath no man than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you, faith and love. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Completed as canon of Scripture, people. After Revelation 22, it's over. It's all revealed. Verse 16, you did not choose me. I chose you, and I appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit. And what is the fruit? Fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that your fruit should remain. What is that? You give the fruit of the gospel to someone, they believe in Jesus Christ, it's forever. That whatever you ask of the Father, whatever you ask of the Father in my name. People, revolutionary. Never before they've asked the Father. No prayer has been in the name to the Father, and no prayer has ever been in his name. He may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. Since the world hates you, forget the word if, that's since, first class condition, I command that you love one another. Since the world hates you, people discover to love one another. The world hates us. The world hates every one of us. The world hates the Christian that upsets you. But you got to forget and remember, the world hates them just as it hates you. Since the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A slave is not greater than his master. Same concept, different context. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, the gospel, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you because of my name. Because they do not know the one who sent me. They do not know the Father. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned. What's their sin? Rejection of Jesus Christ. But now they have no excuse. Who's he talking about? The world. The whole world. They have no excuse for their sin. What's the sin? Rejection of Jesus Christ. It'll come up. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sinned. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. But they have done this in order that the word may be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. The world doesn't even know why it hates Jesus Christ. Verse 26, love one another, hatred of the world, now he brings in the power. When the Parakletos comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, in case you forgot, men, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. People, it's not you and I bearing witness of Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. And you bear witness also because you have been with me from the beginning. Forget the chapter break. Now, these things I've spoken to you about loving the world hating you, the coming of the Holy Spirit, these things I have spoken to you that you may be kept from stumbling. Your object of hate is going to stumble. They will make you an outcast from the synagogue. But an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think he's offering service to God. People, there are people throughout all church history, they think when they kill Jews, they're serving God. It's just unbelievable how man thinks that. Verse 3, these things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. But these things I have spoken to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember. Their hour, that's the persecution, their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them, and these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. Okay, he didn't teach them anything because they weren't ready. Now he's leaving. They're ready for this information. But now I'm going to him who sent me. And none of you ask, where are you going? But because I said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. That's a powerful phrase. How could it be to my advantage that Jesus, the Son of God, my Savior, my friend, leaves? How can it be to my advantage? Okay, let's see how. For if I do not go away, the Parakletos shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, see, that's why I tell you, we trust the Holy Spirit. We follow the Holy Spirit. Just as you would deal with Jesus Christ, you deal with this Parakletos. Verse 8. And he, Parakletos, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin singular, righteousness, and judgment. And now let's see if we can pull this together for you. It's their sin, their righteousness, and their judgment is what is being convicted of. Concerning sin, because they do not believe me. And they rejected the gospel. Concerning righteousness, that is, concerning their own righteousness that they think they have before God. Because I go to the Father, and you no longer behold me. And concerning their judgment, because the ruler of the world has been judged. Now, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. You cannot handle them now. Why? Because the Parakletos has not come. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you. He will teach you. He will cause you to remember. Now he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. People, the same thing is said of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, I don't speak on my own initiative. I speak what the Father tells me to speak. This is why Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, the same. They're different, but they're the same. Okay, verse 14. He shall glorify me. Jesus Christ what? Glorifies the Father. The Holy Spirit glorifies him. For he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. Take of mine the things that are of me and disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. We looked at Revelation 1 at this point. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said to you that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. Okay, a little while and you will no longer behold me. Now he said this and they got all upset. And now he says it again. And again a little while and you will see me. Now, some of the disciples, or his disciples, therefore said to one another, "What is this thing he's telling us? A little while, and you will not behold me. Again a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father." How could I see him if he goes to the Father? A little while I won't see you. A little while I will see you. But he's going to the Father. How will we see him? It's very confusing. See? Verse 18. What is this he says a little while? We do not know what he's talking about. Now that to me is probably the most honest statement they've made throughout the whole 3 years they've been with the Lord. That is probably the most profoundly honest statement they've made. We do not know what he's talking about. Verse 19. Jesus knew they wished to question him and said to them, "Are you deliberating together about this that I said a little while, and you will not behold me, because I go to the Father, and again a little while, and you will see me after the crucifixion? Truly I say to you, that you will weep and lament, crucifixion, but the world will rejoice, crucifixion and burial of Christ. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy, resurrection." Whenever a woman is in travail, she has sorrow, because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she remembers the anguish no more, for the joy that a child has been born into the world. Okay, you'll see me crucified, cause sorrow. You'll see me buried, it'll cause you sorrow. Then you'll see me resurrected, you'll no longer even think about that sorrow. It won't even, here's the risen Christ. Here's our Savior. Here's our King, risen. You won't even think about the turmoil. Verse 22. Therefore, you too now have sorrow, but I will see you again after the crucifixion, and your heart will rejoice, and no one takes your joy away from you. And in that day you will ask me a no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you shall ask the Father, okay, there it is again, ask the Father, never before in history, for anything, he will give it to you in my name. Never before has prayer been answered in the name of Jesus Christ, but now it will. Until now, you've asked me nothing in my name. You've not asked for the Holy Spirit. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be made full, fruit of the Spirit. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming when I will speak no more to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. In that day you will ask in my name. You'll ask the Father in my name. And I do not say to you, I will request the Father on your behalf. There's no, people, this idea of saints, and you pray to Mary, and you pray to this, and they go, and then everybody intercedes for the Father, and all this type, that's garbage, people. Jesus Christ is telling us that right here. You don't need any intercessory. I, the Son of God, am not only, I'm not going to. You go straight to the Father. People, this is powerful. This is unbelievable. This should encourage us to pray all day, every day. Okay? Now, so he says, I tell you, I'm not going to intercede for you. Let's see, where am I? Because you love me. 27. All right, verse 26. In that day, you will ask in my name, ask the Father in my name. I do not say to you that I will request the Father on your behalf. I'm not going to do that. Don't need to. Why not? For the Father himself loves you. He loves you because you have loved me, faith in Jesus Christ. And I believe that I came forth from the Father. I came forth from the Father, have come into the world. I am leaving the world again and going to the Father. People, this should be every one of our attitude about our death. Every one of us should have the same attitude. I'm going home to the Father. I don't know when, don't know how, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I'm going to the Father. It's that simple. I'm ready to go whenever he calls me. Okay? Verse 29. His disciples said, "Lo, now you are speaking plainly and are not just not using figurative of speech. Now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. By this, we believe that you came from God. Jesus Christ said, oh, do you really believe that? Let's find out. Let's see if you really believe it. Behold, an hour is coming and has already come. The crucifixion is in play. For you to be scattered, diaspora, each to his own home or home place, and to leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. He didn't say, you're leaving me alone to put a guilt on them people, to point out a fact. I'm not alone. When you see me crucified, when you see me buried, I'm not alone. The Father is with me. Verse 33. All these things now, chapter 13, verse 1 and following, the foot washing, all these things I've taught you, spoken to you, that in me you may have peace by the parakletos, by the knowledge powered by the parakletos. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Okay, I just wanted to spend this time just to read through this whole upper room thing so we see it as it flowed, how all of these things happened. Now, let's note a few things in closing about this, what we've just looked at. Jesus Christ, it has come to my awareness in this study, and I talked with John, I had not realized this before. Nobody in all of the Bible did as much teaching on the Holy Spirit as Jesus Christ did. And people, why not? Why not? No one has, is, or will ever be as dependent on the Holy Spirit as was the humanity of Jesus Christ. No one. It was a reality to him. And I pray that the Holy Spirit's a reality to every one of you. Not speaking in tongues and all that type of stuff, but boy, I can't even pray without him. I can't witness without him. I can't take a step without him. I need him. And therefore, Jesus Christ did more teaching on the Holy Spirit than anyone. Now, Paul did a lot of talking about him, but I mean brand new teaching, revelation on the Holy Spirit. Let's take a look at just Jesus Christ talking about the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 13. I'm going to kind of put some things together now. Chapter 13, verse 20. Chapter 13, verse 20. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives me, receives whomever I send, the Holy Spirit, receives me. That's why we got the idea that I'm in you when the Holy Spirit's in you. And he who receives me, receives him who sent me, God the Father. Look at chapter 14, verse 16. Chapter 14. This is pneumatology. Well, if I ever taught pneumatology, I'd go straight to the teaching of Jesus Christ to do it. In fact, we did it in our little survey study, basic study. All right, let's look at chapter 14, and now look at verse 16. I will ask the Father, and he will send you another parakletos. God the Father gives the Holy Spirit to every believer, that he may be with you forever. Holy Spirit is another, just like Jesus Christ, deity, parakletos. And then we have the permanency of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit forever. Verse 17. He's a spirit. He's a spirit of truth. The world cannot receive him. Now jump to verse 26. But the parakletos, Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send. He sent to the Father. He sent in Jesus' name. He will teach you. He will bring it to remembrance. This is powerful pneumatology. Study of the Holy Spirit by Jesus Christ. 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I leave with you. This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Go to chapter 15. Verse 26. Pneumatology is from pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A. That means breath or spirit in the Greek. Pneumatology, and thank you for asking. Pneumatology is the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. It's a section of theology proper. In our study on the 1 o'clock class on Sunday that you're coming to, we will study pneumatology. And I will not go by that book. I'm going to go by the teachings of Christ. We'll cover the things that are in that book, but we're going to take ours straight from the Bible. But pneumatology, pneuma, spirit, breath. Okay? All right, good. Chapter 15, let's look at verse 26. When the Parakletos comes, whom I will send, sent by Jesus Christ. See, in verse 14:26, God the Father will send. In chapter 15:26, sent by Jesus Christ from the Father, Spirit of truth, bear witness of Christ. Chapter 16, verse 7. Chapter 16, verse 7. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Parakletos shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. He'll not come until Jesus Christ is glorified. And here he said, by Jesus Christ. Verses 8 through 11, which we'll not reread. But he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. This is his ministry to unbelievers. He has a ministry to believers, as Jesus Christ said. He will indwell you. He will teach you, cause you to remember, give you peace, and cause you to witness all these things to the world. He will convict them concerning me. All right? Chapter 16, verse 13. But when he, the Parakletos, okay, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you. He will not speak on his own initiative. He will disclose you what is to come. He'll cause you to understand Scripture, prophecy. Verse 14 of chapter 16. He will glorify me. People, there's no glorifying of the Father outside of the power of the Holy Spirit. He will disclose the truth of Jesus Christ to us. Verse 15. Disclose the truth of Jesus Christ. So, I've given you the verses for you to just read through some of them on your own. If you want to look at the Holy Spirit, let's look at nine ministries of the Holy Spirit taught by Jesus Christ. Nine ministries taught by Jesus Christ in the upper room discussion. And I say upper room, I mean upper room up until the end of chapter 16, 33. One, permanent indwelling. Two, he will teach you. Three, he will cause you to remember. Okay, I'm sorry. One, permanent indwelling. Two, he will teach you. All of this taught by Jesus Christ. That's what's so amazing. Three, he will cause you to remember. Four, fruit of peace. Five, bear witness of Jesus Christ. Six, he will guide you. Seven, he will disclose to you things to come. Eight, he will glorify Jesus Christ. Nine, he will disclose Jesus Christ. And 10, he will give you fruit, the fruit of joy. Joy. Now, we have time for one other aspect. Jesus Christ did unbelievable teaching in prayer, on prayer, that no one else has done through all history. Before Jesus Christ, since Jesus Christ. Paul did not really add to this other than pray in the Spirit. But this is the teaching on the whole on prayer by Jesus Christ alone. And why not? Prayer characterized this man's life. He would steal away to pray. He was always in prayer. Prayer was extremely important to him. And when you're in the power of the Spirit, he will lead you to pray. Chapter 14, verse 13. Ask in my name. First time in history, never in the Old Testament. 14:14, ask in my name. 15:7, condition of prayer. You abide in me, salvation. My word abide in you, biblical truth regarding prayer. Chapter 15, verse 16, ask the Father, first time in history, never in the Old Testament. Chapter 15, verse 16. Chapter 15, verse 16, ask in my name. First time in history. First time in history, never been done before. 16:23, ask the Father. Prayer is answered, chapter 16, verse 23, prayer is answered in his name. Never before in history has prayer been answered in his name. It's now answered in his name. In his glory. 16:24, ask. 16:26, ask in my name. Three vital points to prayer I want you to remember. One, ask God the Father. Two, ask in my name. Three, prayer answered in my name. Jesus Christ and God as his Father. People, as we go through it, I'm going to give you some verses, and you'll want you to read these. I want you to remember something, how important this is. This is one of the primary reasons the Pharisees wanted to crucify him, because he claimed God to be his Father. And over and over and over in chapters 13 through 16, he calls God his Father. Let me just read these to you. 13:1 and 3. 14:2 and 6-13. Verse 16. Verse 20 and 21. 23 and 24. 26. 28. 31. Chapter 15. You don't think this is heavy on his mind? 15. Chapter 15. Verse 1, 8 through 10, 15 and 16, 23 and 24, and 26. Chapter 16, verse 3, 10, 15, 17, 23, 25 through 28, and 32. Jesus Christ refers to God as his Father 47 times in just four chapters. That's how powerful his relationship with God the Father is. That's how powerful our relationship with Jesus Christ and the Father should be. You know why he instructed us to pray to the Father? What was on his mind? His departure from this earth, going to the Father. Not about death. Don't worry about death. Just think, I'm going to be with the Father. Chapter 13, verse 1. His departure to the Heavenly Father. Chapter 13, verse 1. After the crucifixion and resurrection. Verse 3. Returning to the place of origin of his humanity. People, we weren't born here. Spirit, we're born from above. We're born in heaven. Heaven is our citizenship. We're just going home. Don't ever be afraid of going home. Chapter 14, verse 3, goes to prepare a place for us. Heavenly Jerusalem, not on earth. Verse 4, where I am going. Verse 12, he goes to the Father. Verse 28, he goes to the Father. And we will go and rejoice over this. Chapter 16, verse 5. Chapter 16, verse 7. Chapter 16, verse 17. And verse 28. And finally, the new commandment. Chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Chapter 15, verses 12 and 17. Well, I hope that you've gotten as much out of this upper room discourse as I have. And the thing is now going to change. Chapter 17, which will start next week, talk about Jesus Christ's prayer, audibly heard, audibly written down for us. So, any questions in the upper room discourse? I just think it's amazing. The teaching on the Holy Spirit, teaching on prayer, teaching on the Father. I mean, just boy, you could just take those four chapters, and I hate to say it, but you hardly need anything else, really. They're just for the believer. It's just unbelievable, those four chapters. But I'm thankful we have all the Scripture. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this book. We pray now you'll take just the reading of the Word, cause it to bless us, give us peace, give us comfort, give us joy. Just seeing this whole outline of history, of our lives, of the whole church age, and just have a peace about it. When tribulation comes, may tribulation in the world, from the world, of the world, by the world, of Satan, ourselves, just what peace and joy that Jesus Christ has laid this all out. He's coming to get us. We're going to be with Him forever. We die, we go to be with the Father. We should rejoice over that. It gives us the courage, a perseverance of faith while we're here on earth in tribulation and adversities. Things don't work out the way we want it, and things hurt us and people hurt us and disappoint us and all these things. But you're not going to disappoint us. You're not going to let us down. We'll never be ashamed, Father, by taking these words that we've seen by Jesus Christ, believe them, and live them. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.